Family, I thought before we go to the booth and drop today's episode is very special to me due to the fact of the lessons that I learned along the way of why it's important to have a really great team around you. You see, when I was playing college basketball, my coach came to me one day because I was frustrated and I was upset, and I was like, why, all the times that I always hear you calling my name, yelling at me, and why is this? And he was like, the day that I stop calling your name and yelling at you and pushing you, the day I no longer care of your growth and your productivity. You see, family, a lot of times we can mistake someone's approach to us of how to push us to be better than we were yesterday, or push us to be better than we were a month ago, a year ago. Yet, even though the method is not appreciative, it's what the outcome that you get from the method. I say that to say that when you are in the process of building a high performance team, always recommend that you have to understand what people's buttons are. What is a button? What do you mean by that, ED? Again, I appreciate you guys asking me that. What I mean by that, family, is the fact that when you're building your team and you identify their personalities, the personalities that are on your team, there's certain things that will motivate and inspire some people, and some people it would turn off. You see, until my coach explained the reason why, the purpose of reason of him pushing me, I was completely turned off. It just didn't register. But when he gave me the reason why, because I am someone that is curious, I'm always constantly asking questions, I'm constantly trying to figure out better ways to do things, I'm always trying to find better ways to better myself, it just that registered for me when he gave me the confidence to say, well, the reason why I'm pushing you is because I see something in you. The reason why I'm pushing you is because I know that if you can believe what I see, oh man, this can be one beautiful relationship here with you growing and continually to develop as a person on and off the court. And that continuously to resonate with me to this day. And when I started making this episode, I said, man, before I go to the booth, I gotta share this story, because this story really is one of the many stories that had a huge role in the reason why I got hungry, or as Les Brown said, you gotta be hungry. Well, that's what happened. I got extremely hungry. I got tired of settling. I got tired of waiting for someone to show up to have my back. I got tired of hoping, because I understand without action, hope doesn't mean anything. So family, in today's episode, get ready, because I'm leaving everything out there on the video, instead of the floor, you get it. Anyway, stay tuned. I'm coming for you now. You see, as I was telling you earlier, before we got back to the booth, you have to understand collaboration, leadership, communication requires more than just saying, I'm here. It requires full participation. Now, if this is somebody that if you're looking to build a high performing team, you probably want to stay tuned, because I got some good heat for you. If you're new to the channel, I go by the name of ED for you smart and intelligent folks out there. Listen, that just simply means Ed. I have a 7-point framework. Sometimes I throw in bonuses, and today is one of those days. Like I said earlier, I'm leaving everything out on the floor today, because you never know, family. You never know when you're going to have an opportunity to be in front of a camera and somebody is going to watch it, and you may inspire, motivate, and push somebody to be into their greatness. So I hope that I could just be an inspiration to someone out there. So let's get into today's content. Today's episode is entitled Building High Performing Teams, Leadership Strategies for Project Managers. Again, Building High Performing Teams, Leadership Strategies for Project Managers. Point number one, team building. Listen, I remember when we did this team building exercise, and I'm gonna be completely honest. The I was totally against it. Yep, me. Somebody that is the curious guy that wants to see, hey, nope, I was against it. Because let me tell you what they said, family. They said, this is the game. We're going to lock you in here and you need to figure your way out. And then once you figure your way out of this room, then we're going to you're going to still be locked in because there's another room that you got to get out of. And then once you get out of that room, there's another room. And I was like, wait a minute. There's too many locked doors. I don't know if you've seen Friday. No more locked doors. You know, so that's how I was feeling, family. I was like, I didn't want any more locked doors. However, the concept of what this was called, which is called an escape room. And I didn't understand the value of it at the time. But see, the value of it was the opportunity for teams to work together. And you know what? And that, the leader that I was under at that time, the guy was a genius. And how I knew he was a genius, because he mixed the teams up. He didn't allow the teams that, you know, that really got along together. He mixed in the ones that, you know, we just forget seeing eye to eye. We didn't see toe to toe. I mean, literally. I mean, because it was just, it was always conflict and debate. And it was telling me every reason why we can't do something instead of finding ways that we can. And in this team building exercise, family, of escaping the room, when we finally got out of there, it forced us, number one, to work together. It forced us, number two, to make a decision. Who's going to be the one that's going to talk? Who's going to be the one that's reading an instruction? Who's going to be the one? So everybody had a role to play. And then we came together like Voltron. Okay, you didn't like that. Well, we came together like, okay, point I'm trying to make, family, is team building exercises are very important. And if you don't have the budget for it, get creative. Because what this does, it allows you to develop trust within your team. It develops that collaborative spirit. It also invokes, when I say invoke, meaning it encourages team members to want to step outside of their comfort zone and become uncomfortable. Let's move on to point number two. You already know communication is always going to be in one of these points, but effective communication. Listen, if you don't cultivate an open, clear, and honest communication and honest communication channels, I promise you that when it gets to the end of a project, a middle of the project, or even just starting a project, you pick and choose. It's going to be a challenge for you as a project manager, because what is going to happen is people are going to hold information back from you because of the fear of, or I should say the perceived fear, what comes with if they have to flip your project yellow or they have to flip your project red due to a fact of maybe what something was promised is no, that can no longer happen, and you have to come up with an alternative. See, there's a difference when you have to come up with an alternative or solve a problem. You expect that as a project manager, but, and I do mean but, sometimes the team it has an expectation that everything is going to flow so seamlessly, and most of the time it doesn't happen that way, and you have to go into problem solving. But having the ability to make the team feel comfortable to exchange ideas and to just feel like, hey, when we're in these meetings, this is literally our safe place. And that's one of the reasons why I love the Scrum framework as well. But right now we're really focusing on, we're talking about the waterfall of predictive methodology. Goal alignment. Listen, you have to ensure team members not only have a comprehensive look at the project goals, but understands their individual contribution to the bigger picture, or I should say the larger objective. Because what we can tend to do as project managers, family, we can just keep going as far as saying, all right, I need this task. I don't know why this wall is over here fighting me, but I'm in a fighting mood, so we're going to push back. But I digress. But what I'm saying, family, is that we have to ensure that individually the team team understands their individual goals. That art is lost in project management, because we can get tunnel vision that we're so focused on the big goal that we don't break that big goal down into smaller, bigger. We get so caught up in the big objective that sometimes we need to, you know, break that big objective down and then break it down in a way that makes sense to the individuals who are supporting it. I hope you like that. Let's move on to point number four, roles and responsibility. My auntie would say, if you want to muddy the water, add salt, add water. If you get where I'm going, it makes no sense, does it? And that's the point, is that if you want to ensure that your team understands their roles and responsibility, there's different templates out there and artifacts, and that's fine. I mean, you can use Erasy. You can ensure on your stakeholder register everyone who is on your project. I mean, there's many artifacts. I could go on and on. But the point is you as the project manager, and I do mean you, have to clearly define their roles and responsibility and minimizing, or I should say, reducing any ambiguity of what they should be doing, at the same time fostering a collaborative environment. Because when you foster that collaborative environment, if I'm somebody that could do the same thing, and when I say do the same thing, probably not on the level as you can, but if I'm able to help you maybe move one of the roadblocks for you or impediment, same thing, then you're going to feel more comfortable and trust that, oh, he's not trying to get my job, or she's not trying to get my job. Because that's the reason why a lot of times when it comes to roles and responsibilities, there's not a clear path, because what tends to happen is sometimes either one or two things will happen. Either the team member will get into their own silo and never look out of the box, no point intended, but or they will be so far away from what they should be doing as their day-to-day that they get caught up in helping everybody else that they forget to help themselves. It reminds me about what Cat Williams said, and he said this, and it's so poignant to today, is that, when you're on the airplane, when you're listening to the instruction from the stewardess, they say, in case of an emergency and the cabin pressure goes up, or however they say it, all of a sudden these masks will come down. And when these masks comes down, they say, go ahead and put it on your neighbor or the kid or your child or your spouse or your significant or the other first. No, they don't say that. Why don't they say that? I remember I used to ask that question, well, why do they not say that? And then the question shouted back at me, and what it said was, is the reason is that if you're so busy taking care of everybody else and you forget to take care of yourself, how can you help anybody else? So the point I'm trying to make here, family, is that when you set a clear line of what needs to happen as far as roles and responsibilities, do your roles and responsibilities and make sure that's intact, but also be willing to assist and help other people, but don't lose your momentum as far as you're responsible for this piece over here, whatever that widget or piece is, but yet keep a collaborative mindset to also want to help out your team. Conflict resolution. Listen, I always say all conflict is not bad, just like all press is not bad. But there is some conflict that is really dangerous to the team, and that can really truly prevent the team going to the next model, I mean, next level. I talked about the Bruce Tuckerman model on a couple videos again, and from a high level, it really, reason why I love that model is because it continues to talk about when you're introducing new resources, how everything has to be resetted and reset it back to almost ground zero again, of doing everything over to gain that trust and gain that trust from the team. And so when you are building these high performance teams, family, ensure that you're not just changing in and out of resources without properly ensuring that it's going to be a fit and a match for the team. So, because if not, then you are going to have your hands full with a lot of conflict, a lot of frustration. And as we've learned, frustration comes from the expectation that one has had. So if one is on a great team that is vibrant, is constantly helping, watching each other back, like, oh, hey, ED, you forgot to answer that email, and they're pinging you in Teams and saying, hey, make sure you follow up on that email. Oh man, I'm so glad you let me know that. Let me go back and handle that. And so what I'm trying to say here, family, is that we want to ensure that we are keeping a open mind when we are going into these conflicts, because again, not all conflicts are bad. Let's move on to point number six: continuous feedback. Listen, being able to establish a feedback that, oh man, a feedback type culture and providing regular input and performance evaluation really empowers the team. You know what normally happens is when it's time for performance appraisals, you probably haven't even seen those goals since you put them in a year ago. you should be looking at them regularly, but hey, we're human. And because we're human, sometimes we just forget things. So then when it's time for the performance review, you're like, oh man, I should have been more on top of this. So family, creating and ensuring that you're having continuous feedback loops will ensure a greater success in your project. Recognition and rewards is point number seven. Listen, I remember when I first got in this profession, recognition and rewards were huge. It's funny. It's the little things. People think, oh, well, we got to probably throw a whole bunch of money at them. Well, yeah, that would be nice. But how about just saying, hey, you know, y'all finished that project on time, and I'm taking the team out for lunch. It's on me. Or I'm taking them out for happy hour and appetizers. I mean, there's creative ways that you could go about doing this. It's just, you have to find them. And if you want to work with me for any recommendations, ask me. I'll give you some recommendations. But again, family, there's creative ways that you can still recognize and reward people for their collaborative effort, for their performance, for them motivating the team, and just being effective overall. We're not looking for perfection. We're looking for someone that would be willing to execute, or better yet, watch this, that somebody that can fall down and get back up, that can fall down and get, those are the people I love to work with, because that lets me know that it doesn't matter what happens, it's about how they respond to it. My last and final point, which is a bonus point, empowerment. Yep, empowerment. I don't know why I did that. Yep, that's my new thing, I guess. I'm sounding like, what's that? Beep, beep. Yeah, that's what it sounded like. Okay, anyway, I digress. But anyway, empowering the team members by giving them autonomy. You know, I remember when Steve Jobs had talked about when he would hire someone, and they was, I don't know if I seen this on an interview or whatever, but the point he was making was, he said, if I hired you, I didn't hire you for me to do the thinking. I hired you because you're good at that skill set and you can deliver. So why am I going to tell you what to do? What I will do is I will empower you and give you consultation and advice, but that is not my job to tell you what to do. And a lot of times what will happen is that you will get in these cultures that are micromanagers because of the fear of they're going to miss out on a deliverable, or you'll get in a culture where they say, oh, we're not micromanaging you, and you could just see all of the details leading up to, yeah, you're micromanaging me. So family, I leave you with that empowerment piece. That's a huge piece. And also I leave you with this, family. At times when you're going through the battle, just remember to keep putting one foot in front of each other as you're building these high performance teams. Until next time, been your boy ED, and I'm out.